Okay, so we are going to pick up from Sif Gimel. It's just my father. Hanashim muzharos bo yoser mipnei shemitzuyos babayis ve'oskos b'sarchei habayis. So this is where the Shulchan Aruch tells us that hadlakas neros on Shabbos is the woman's mitzvah. Now, what does that mean? It's the woman's mitzvah. A man certainly also has a mitzvah to light Shabbos candles. But in general, the man is the one who does the mitzvahs of the bayis, and the woman is usually yotzei with the man. When it comes to hadlakas neros, so the woman is the one who does it, and she is motzi her husband in his chiyuv. So it's interesting. Some ask the question, how can the husband just give control over to the woman for this mitzvah? Usually we have a principle of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, which means that you're supposed to do the mitzvah as opposed to have somebody else be motzi you. This is a discussion that some of the achronim have in Londus. Is a wife, because we have a principle of ishto kegufo, maybe that's called you doing it. When your wife does it, that's not a shliach. Shliach is an external party. Maybe when your wife is doing it, that's not called mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. That's not called the shlucho doing it instead of you. Maybe that's you doing it. I'm going to come back to that cheshbon a little bit later. But lemaisa, that's what the din is, that in general, the women are the ones who light candles. And sure enough, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Sif Katan Yud Aleph, v'afilu im yirtza habal lahadlik ba'atzmo ha'isha kodemes. Even if the husband would like to light, she comes first. Meaning that he doesn't have the right to tell her, listen, I'm the man of the house, I'm going to do the mitzvah. He doesn't have the right to say that. If she wants to do the mitzvah, he has to allow her to do the mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah, now why is it that this is a woman's mitzvah? So in the Shulchan Aruch, he has an interesting svara. He says, "Mipnei shemitzuyos b'bayis ve'oskos b'tzarchei habayis." That makes it sound like a purely technical thing. Since she's the one who's found in the house and she's dealing with the preparation, so therefore, it's her responsibility. From the straight reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it just sounds like this is a purely technical thing. She's the one who's there. You know, he's, you know, trying to run out to catch mincha, let alone he's going to have time to light candles. This is primarily her job. But I would like to suggest a little bit of a different understanding. Maybe what the Shulchan Aruch is trying to suggest is that she's zochet to the mitzvah because of all the hard work she puts in for Shabbos. Now you think about it, she sits there, she slaves away in the kitchen, she makes all the food, she takes care of everything, and then, you know, you walk in, out of the shower, your hair is dripping, you roll up your sleeves, and you're like, okay, out of the way, time to do the mitzvah. Now maybe it's that she put a lot of effort in here, so therefore she should be the one who's zochet to do the mitzvah. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Yud Beis, he says another reason. Mipnei shekibsa neiro shel olam, shegarma misa la'adam harishon. This is a little bit of a different direction now. Because she was the one who caused Adam to sin, and causing Adam to sin, so that extinguished the light of the world. Now, light of the world here is an interesting reference, what it means. It sounds like a Kabbalistic statement. We'll just explain it al pi derech ha-machshava in a minute. The pashtus is that before the chet of Adam Arishon, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was perceptible in a very overt way. And after the chet, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence became concealed. It became hidden. Ba'achris hayamim, emirtz Hashem, with the coming of Mashiach, so once again, Hashem's presence will be palpable. It'll be perceptible. So through the chait, this is how the Nefesh HaChaim explains the chait of Adam HaRishon. So through the chait of Adam and Chava, which was initiated by Chava, so there was a extinguishing of the light, and therefore in response, she does a tikkun by her being the one to light the candles. So what's the role of the husband? So the in Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis, the one we just read, Otam, Nei Shekibsa Neiro Shel Olam, Garma Misal Adam Arishon. Umikom Makom, continues the Mishnah Berurah, Tov Shehaish Yisakein HaNeiros. It's good for the husband to fix the candles, to set up the candles. And if you look in Reish Samach Dalid, Shacharach Reish Samach Dalid, in Chavches, in Sifkat and Chavches of the Mishnah Berurah, so he says a little bit more detail there. He says that the husband should set up the oil, you light with oil, pour the oil, put in the wicks, light the wicks, and then extinguish them. Why are you lighting the wicks and then extinguishing them? The assumption is that that allows them to light quicker. Either they were covered, even nowadays, some wicks are covered with some wax. And when you light them, it takes a little bit of time until the wax burns off and you get access to the actual wick itself. Now, it's brought down in the name of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish said that he didn't think nowadays you need to do that with the wicks. He says they light perfectly fine. You don't need to light them and then extinguish them in order to relight them. That's brought down in the name of the Chazon Ish. He didn't write it himself, but I saw it brought down in his name. But in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says that no, it still applies today. And Chasidim bring all these ta'amim al pisod of why it's good to light it and then to extinguish it. But be that as it may, whether you actually light them or not, it certainly is a nice gesture and is an opportunity to be mishtatef in the mitzvah if the husband sets up the candles. You know, usually people don't leave their candles out all Shabbos. They're usually away in a break front somewhere or in a closet. So to take them out and to set them up, so that is a way that the husband has an opportunity to be mishtatef in the mitzvah. And what happens when the mother's not home? The classic case they talk about, which is not necessarily, I mean, I guess it's true if a woman gives birth right before Shabbos or if she has a C-section, she's in the hospital for a long time. What happens when the husband is not, when the wife is not home for Shabbos? The family's all home, but the wife is, let's say, in the hospital. So what happens then? So in the Dirshu, Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rav Yoshev that instead of the husband lighting, a bas mitzvah aged daughter should light the candles. And he says, because she's the one, the Tam in the Shulchan Aruch is the one who's investing in the Shabbos preparations. Rav Yoshev assumes that she's going to be the one investing in the Shabbos preparations. She needs to be bas mitzvah because she's lighting on behalf of everybody else. But if she's bas mitzvah and she's preparing for Shabbos, then Rav Yoshev writes that she should light before the father. And in the Dirshu, they bring a little bit of a diyun based on the discussion that we had a minute ago, which is, if the reason the wife normally lights instead of the husband is because ishta kegufo, so really it's the husband's mitzvah because he's the master of the house. But the wife is ishta kegufo, she's an extension of him. So that wouldn't apply to the daughter. The daughter is not an extension. So therefore, when it comes down to it, the father shouldn't let the daughter do it. It's his mitzvah. He lets his wife do it because letting his wife do it is him doing it. They're a team. But when his daughter does it, why should his daughter do it? He should do it. It's his mitzvah. That's if you learn like that. But if you use the other explanations, let's say you know, the women were involved in the chait, or they're the ones who invested, and therefore as a schus to them, we allow them to do the mitzvah, then it makes sense to let the daughter light, as Rav Yoshev says. Okay, going further. So the Shulchan Aruch, we already read the end of Gimel. I'll just read it quickly. We had read it earlier. Im ein yado maseges liknos ner. The Shabbos, or Kiddush Hayom, if you don't have enough money to buy Shabbos candles or Kiddush wine, so Ner Shabbos is Kodem, and so too, if you don't have enough money, Liknos Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, also Ner Shabbos is Kodem. Why is Shabbos candles coming before Kiddush and coming before Chanukah candles? Because of Shalom Bayis. And we had noted, the Mishnah Berurah says that even though Kiddush is D'oraisa, but to do it on Yayin is only the Rabbanon. And in addition, you're also Yotzei with Tefillah and the D'oraisa. And the D'Rabbanon, you can be Yotzei officially on Challah. You don't have to do it on wine. And therefore, Ner Shabbos comes first. To Ein Shalom Bebayis below Ner. There's no Shalom. If there's no light, it's very hard to have Shalom. Siftalad in the Shulchan Aruch is now discussing our next section, and that is the very quick section, the proper time to light candles. So we've already discussed in earlier Shurim when we discussed Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim about when Shabbos starts, we already discussed all the Minhagim. 40 minutes before, as they do in Yerushalayim, 30 minutes, they do in many cities in Eretz Yisrael, 20 minutes, like Rav Moshe said to do, 18 minutes, some people do. So in the Shulchan Aruch here in Dalit, he writes, Lo yachdim limaher b'hadliko b'od hayom gadol. Don't light Shabbos candles too early. What's wrong with lighting Shabbos candles too early, isn't it? Zrizin makdim le mitzvos, light early. So he says, no, because as eino nikar shemadlik l'chabot Shabbos, then it's not clear you're lighting for Shabbos. You have to question if that's really so true nowadays. You know, back then, candles were the way they illuminated the house. And that was their primary way of lighting up the house. Now, I realize they don't have to light during the day. So anyway, it was strange to light candles in the middle of the day. But nowadays, we only light candles for Shabbos. No one's lighting candles normally in their house. So the idea that you're lighting it, even if you light early, it's still pretty clear that you're doing it l'chabot Shabbos. But this is the din in the Shulchan Aruch. Don't light too early because we want it to be clear you're doing it l'chabot Shabbos. The gam lo yacher. Also, don't do it too late. It's a good point, time to just mention very quickly. You know, we had spoken in last week about the knas for a woman who forgets to light, just to light an additional candle in a few following weeks. Even as severe as that sounds, if there's even a slight suffix that it's already shkia, Shabbos candles should obviously not be lit. Now, women take lighting candles very, very seriously. And it could be that a woman will be so distraught over the possibility that she's not going to light candles, she might not be careful regarding shkia. Therefore, you have to realize that it's even a suffix that it's shkia, you cannot light the candles. What's going to be? So she's going to have to light candles for the rest of her life? No. We already said that during Ben HaShemashos, Amir La'akum is allowed during Ben HaShemashos. Straight up, Amir La'akum. So certainly, if you live in a place, Chutz La'aretz, where there's lots of Gentiles around, it shouldn't be too hard during the Ben HaShemashos period to get a Gentile to light candles for you. And then you wouldn't need to do the kenas of lighting candles. And I will also mention that we said that according to Rav Moshe, nowadays that we have electric lights in the room, and electric lights anyway fulfill at least the Shalom Bayis element of Hadlakas Neiros. And certainly if the lights were turned on recently and you turned them on L'chavod Shabbos, meaning you turned them on and said, you know, we don't usually leave the fancy living room lights on, but let's leave them on for Shabbos. So then for sure, we said that you wouldn't need to light candles in the future, an extra candle. If the Gentile lights, no bracha is made. No bracha is made because, first of all, there's no shlichus by a goy. So the shliach can't really light for you. Now, again, the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, the question is the mitzvah the act of lighting or is it having candles lit? So we can assume that having candles lit is the mitzvah, at least in a b'di'evet situation. Therefore, the Gentile lights for you, but you don't get credit for the act of lighting because there's no shlichus. And anyway, the Mishnah Berurah says that if there would be shlichus, in general, the shliach makes the bracha, not the mishaleach, not the sender, the agent makes the bracha. So in this situation, anyway, there wouldn't be an opportunity for the sender for the one who's appointing the Gentile wouldn't be making the bracha. Okay. So you don't write too early and you don't light too late. The imrots of hadlik ner ba'odayom gadol, but if you would like to light early, meaning when it's still daylight out, and to makabel Shabbos, rashai, that for sure you can do. You certainly can accept Shabbos early and light candles at that time. That's not a problem of lighting too early. Ki kevin shemakabel lov Shabbos miyad ein zoak doma, because since you're being makabel Shabbos, that's not called lighting early. Lighting early is when you light and then you don't start Shabbos for 2 hours. But if you light and then you start Shabbos, so that's not called lighting early. Uvilvad shiemi plaga mincha. But it's got to be after plag. This is what we noted in previous weeks. You cannot be makabel Shabbos before plaga mincha. If you light Shabbos candles before plaga mincha, you need to put them out and relight them again with a bracha. You can light again. What do you mean? But I lit them and it was makabel Shabbos. But it's a Kabbalah Shabbos petos. You can't be makabel Shabbos before plaga mincha. So if you're makabel Shabbos before plaga mincha, you weren't makabel Shabbos. So you're able to relight, even though lighting is a malacha. You're allowed to relight because you're allowed to do malacha. It's not Shabbos. Okay. Going on. Sif Hei is now discussing the bracha. So we're told the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Sher Kedoshanu Mitzvasav V'tzivanu L'hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. Echad Ha'ish V'Echad Ha'ish. It doesn't matter who's lighting candles. You make the same bracha. And here there is a very important machlokes between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, what is the proper procedure for lighting Shabbos candles? Let's begin with Sfardim. The din of the Sfardim follows the straight din as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. What did it just say in Shulchan Aruch? Kishi Yadlik, when you light candles, you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kishrenu Mitzvah Tzivanu Lavav Ne'er Shel Shabbos. When do you make the bracha? Well, when do you make the bracha by any mitzvah? What's the din? Over Lasi Elson. Before you do the mitzvah. So too, straight reading of the Shulchan Aruch, you make the bracha, and then you light your candles. That is the din according to Sfardim. Now, what if she lit the candles first and didn't make a bracha? The Alkut Yosef writes that once she lights the candles, so she shouldn't make a bracha anymore. Because once you light candles, so if you're being, you already did the mitzvah. Forgetting about making Mekabel Shabbos. You did the mitzvah already. You can't make the bracha after you did the mitzvah. Bracha needs to be made over Lasi Yosan. So once you do the mitzvah, if you already lit the candles, according to Sfardim, that's it. You can't make the bracha anymore. However, he writes that if she remembers in the middle of lighting, let's say she lit one candle or three candles, she's still planning on lighting more candles, so she's able to make the bracha. So again, the din according to Sfardim, straight reading of the Shulchan Aruch, like all other mitzvos, over Lasi Yosan, you make the bracha, and then you light candles. If you lit candles without making a bracha, that's it. You lost it. What do you do if you don't make a bracha and you take a lulav? And then that's it. You took the lulav already. You put on your tefillin and you didn't make a bracha. You already put on your tefillin. And you don't have to get so worried about it. I mean, it's not ideal, but people forget about this all the time. I point this out every year to the guys in my shir on Sukkot time. Everyone gets very worked up about, you know, when to make a leishiv, when not to make a leishiv. And it's important to make a bracha when you need to make a bracha. But something that I think people often forget, missing the bracha is not ma'akev kiyum ha-mitzvah. You're mekayim the mitzvah if you didn't make the bracha. You're supposed to make the, that doesn't mean that we don't take making bracha seriously. You should find out what's the right halacha. Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? But you shouldn't worry, like, I put on my tefillin, I forgot to make a bracha. Oh no, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. You're mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. You weren't mekayim the dirabbanan of making a bracha. So then we have to get into a discussion. Should you do the mitzvah again in order to be mekayim the dirabbanan of making a bracha? Okay, that's a discussion. But you don't need to make the bracha to be mekayim the mitzvah. You're still mekayim the mitzvah. So that's the psak according to Sfardim. But the Ashkenazim, famous psak of the Ashkenazim, take a look at the Ramah in Hay. Yesh mi she'omer she'mivarchim kodem hadlaka. That's the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Sfardim. That you make the bracha before you light. The Yesh Misha Omer, but there are those who say Shemivarech Achar Ha'adlaka, that you should light and make the bracha afterwards. Now, why would we do such a thing? So, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah and Chav Zayin, he explains why. Chav Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah Achar Ha'adlaka Svirulei Deim Tevarech Havi Keilu Kibla Shabbos Beferush Bishuv Asura Lahadlak. The concern is that once you make the bracha, that's a Kabbalah Shabbos. Making the bracha is being Mekabel Shabbos. And if you've been Mekabel Shabbos, now you can't light candles. It's already Shabbos. It's also to light candles on Shabbos. Now, it's interesting. I don't know if he means we're concerned that al-pi halacha, making the bracha is a Kabbalah Shabbos, or we're concerned that the woman is having in mind to be Mekabel Shabbos when she makes the bracha. You hear the difference? Is it that making the bracha triggers a Kabbalah Shabbos unless she thinks otherwise? Or is it that she's going to have kavana when she's making the bracha that I'm being Mekabel Shabbos now?
Why would the bracha trigger that makes it Shabbos? Not that in her mind. Which bracha usually... Until you do the mitzvah, until you do the mitzvah, why should the bracha make it Shabbos?
Saying, what would be the tzad to say that al pi halacha? So, I mean, how do you read these words in the Mishnah Berurah, Shabbos? Svirulei, this day holds, im tevarech, havi ki'ilu kibla l'shabbos beferush. That doesn't sound like she might be makabel Shabbos.
I'll be Svara.
The reason why I'm giving the other option is because I'll be Svara. I think it makes much more sense. The chashash is that she's going to be Mekabel Shabbos.
Baruch Yosef wants to say maybe because of the speech of bringing on, he's saying Shabbos, that brings in...
Right, like Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. Like if it would have been like Lahadlik Nero Shel Kedusha Shabbos, then I don't know, it would have been more, like even more. But I hear. So I'm not sure exactly how to read this line in the Mishnah Berurah, what exactly the concern is. But Lamaisa, that's the reason. We're concerned that there's going to be a Kabbalah Shabbos here. And therefore, light first and then make the bracha. Because let's say lighting candles is accepting Shabbos. Okay, you're allowed to make brachas on Shabbos. So it's going to make brachas on Shabbos. And if making the brachas Kabbalah Shabbos, so Vayter, it's fine. So that's the halacha according to the Ashkenazim. Now there's a problem according to the Ashkenazim. If I lit candles and now I'm making the bracha, what happened to the din of over lasiyasa? In general, you have to make a bracha before you do a mitzvah. And if you do the mitzvah and you didn't make the bracha, so seemingly you lost out on the bracha. The truth is that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Or Zeruah. That's a big machlokas in general, whether if you do the mitzvah without having made the bracha, do you lose out all chances on making the bracha? But Lamaisa, the Ramah comes to address this issue. And the Ramah says like this, if you continue in the Ramah upstairs, Ukideshia over lasiyoso, in order to make sure that it's over lasiyoso, lo yena mimenu ad la'achar ha-bracha, don't get hana from the candles until after the bracha. And how do you do that? Masimin hayad lifnei haner, achar ha-adlacha, umivorchin, v'achar kach misalkin hayad. So what does she do? She lights the candles and she puts her hands out to block the light. She makes the bracha and then she moves her hands and gets hana from the light. Now I realize that right when she lights it, she can't light it and block it at the same time. Right? She's not like putting her hand out and blocking while she's lighting. But okay, you know, lo nitor la malachi ashares, you know, you have to be, you know, what are you going to do? You have to be normal. So you light it, you block it, you make the bracha. Now it's interesting, in the Ramah, it's mashma, you block the candles. I don't know, anyone's wife or mother, you know, stand there with their hands out blocking the candles like this? Most women cover their eyes. So in the Rivavos Ephraim, he says that it could be that that the reason is because there are a lot of candles. People have a minhag nowadays to light lots of candles. So you can't possibly, you know, how are you going to cover all the candles? You know, there's a lot of things to cover. Therefore, it's easier just to cover their eyes. So Ruvi asked, what's this whole idea of being nene? I mean, well, it's not a birchas hananin. So he asked it politely. But what he meant was, what are you talking about? It's not a birchas hananin, it's a birchas mitzvah. So that's an interesting hara. We're not making a bracha on the hana, but I guess it means like you're, you know, again, the mitzvah here, though, is to have light in the room. The mitzvah is to be mechabed by seeing the light. So it could be that the Maisa Mitzvah is seeing the light. So maybe that's the idea. Even though you're right, he does use the word nana, and that's the word that we always use when it comes to Shabbos. Okay. Okay, that's also an interesting question. My father asked why it's l'hadlik ner, not l'hadlik neros, since the minog is to, the straight up minog in Shulchan Aruch is zachar v'shamar, even though al pi halacha, it's probably good enough with one candle, even though we said, oh, you already need two in order to make it nicker that you're actually lighting more than one just for light. So I'm not sure I would imagine that the reason for the lashon is because me'ikar me'ikar adin, you get by with one. But it's a good question. Okay, the one point that just women should realize, again, we're not going to, you know, attack any of our wives for this thing, but just in terms of getting the halacha exactly correct, ideally, she should uncover her eyes as soon as she finishes the bracha, binene, and then she can say all of her tfilos. You know, women have a practice, they daven for the family, they do lots of tfilos. So many women cover their eyes, they make the bracha, and then they sit there saying all their tfilos, and when they're done with their tfilos, they open their hands and look at the flame. The truth is that really, you shouldn't be mafsik so long between making the bracha and being nene. You really should make the bracha, uncover your eyes, be nene from the light, and then you can sit and say all the tfilos and all of the, you know, the bakashos that a woman wants to do should be done at that point. You know, I don't think it's, you know, you have to be smart in how you bring things up, but that's probably the most ideal way to do things. Let's just answer the same question. We asked the question, according to the Sfardim, who make the bracha first and then light. So we asked the question, what if she did the opposite? What if she lit first? Can she still make a bracha? So let's talk about, what about for the Ashkenazim? Let's say the woman made the bracha first, before lighting candles. We said you're supposed to light candles and then make the bracha for Ashkenazim. What if she did the opposite? What if she made the bracha? Now what? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, it's in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in the footnotes, it's brought down in his name, that she can still light to avoid the bracha levatala. Because it's obvious, this is a strong statement, it's obvious that she's not really being mekabel Shabbos with a bracha without candles, without lighting. Obviously, she means to light also. Even if she's being mekabel Shabbos, she obviously means right after she lights. Now, it's a funny line because what do you mean? That's the whole reason we're doing it the other way. Because we're choshesh that she is mekabel Shabbos with the bracha. That's why we do it the other way. But Lamaisa, the Rishon Zalman said that this is more of like a lichatchila dikka concern. But b'diavad, if she made the bracha, we don't want to make a bracha levatala, she can still light. Although he has an interesting ha'ari, he says, but what if she's in the middle of lighting? Let's say she lit a candle, then made the bracha, and still has a few more candles to go. Then he says she shouldn't continue. Then he says she shouldn't continue because it wasn't a bracha levatala. She lit and made the bracha afterwards, like we always do. And now, l'chorah, she was mekabel Shabbos. So she shouldn't light the rest of her, she shouldn't light the rest of her candles. Okay, Baruch Yosef is pointing out that sometimes in Hebrew we do find that the singular is used in reference to plural things. Like we say Shabbos Kodshecha, as opposed to, I mean, there's a discussion about Shabsos, right? But I understand the point. So Yaakov asked about the, what about the kenas? If you don't light the normal, we brought down a machlokas about if the woman lit less candles than she normally does, is there a kenas? And the Prima Gadim said yes, but the Mishabur himself said no. As long as you lit one candle, you're fine. So that would be, so what's just being brought up here is that according to the Prima Gadim, that would be a very unfortunate situation this woman would find herself in. And if she lit one candle, made the bracha, so then according to Shlomo Zalman, she might not be able to light any more candles, and she's going to get hit with the kenas. It's an interesting point. Yes, Simcha's point says that the Be'er Heitev speaks about a case where the Gentile lights and the woman makes the bracha. What's the case there?
It was by a wedding, and she didn't want to be mekabel Shabbos. And so after she lit before Shabbos, Shkia, and then after Shkia. You see it there? It says, or if it's after Shkia, she tells the...
Which one is Be'er Heitev what? In Tess?
5:9. Hey.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean, okay, yeah.
So towards the end.
Oh, Kishi Yishchopa, this thing, Kishi Yishchopa?
Yeah. Oh, Tomer Le'en Yehudi La'adik Akar Chopa V'hi Tevarach.
Interesting. Okay, I'll look into it. Very good. The Mishnah Berurah says not like that, but very good. Excellent. The Mishnah Berurah says not like that. Back in Simen Reish Samach Aleph, when we discussed the halachos of Benashmashos. So if you remember, in Aleph it said Mutter Lomer Le'in Yehudi Benashmashos Lahadlik Ner Litzorech Shabbos, and Mishnah Berurah says, where is it here? Oh, it's later. It's in Chaf Aleph in our sermon. Reish Samach Gimel Chaf Aleph. In the Deer Shu, he makes reference to it. It's right here in Chaf Aleph. Yeah. He's probably commenting. He's commenting on the same case as the Be'er Heitev there. And he's arguing. Take a look in Chaf Aleph, Simcha. You'll see.
Okay.
Echt Tevorech. Right. Okay. And then he says the Achronim have a different Hatzah of what to do. Okay, very good. One last ta'ara here. that the Balatanya, I imagine, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, so he writes a different bracha. He has a lashon of Baruch Atah Hashem Kaneh Melech Olam Asher Kishonu Mitzvah Tzivanu Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos Kodesh, is the girsa of the Balatanya, which is interesting because, you know, machloksim about brachos gets a little bit complicated. That's what Ariel Prime is pointing out. That we assume that the brachos were written by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. We don't find too many machloksim about brachos, although there are some. There are some machloksim about brachos. There's a famous sugya in Psachim, in the beginning of Psachim, about how to know what the, should a bracha be li or al? Do you say li hadlik ner or al hadlokas neros? How come sometimes we say al and sometimes we say li? So that's a big debate amongst the Rishonim. And when the Rishonim are all giving their rules on how to work it out, and none of their rules work, meaning none of their rules work for every case. That's why there's a big machlokas, because if there was one rule that actually solved everything, so everyone would hold that way. But when they're giving their opinions, so you see that they sometimes have different opinions about what some of the brachos are. But it's interesting, this Shulchan Aruch Harav that Ariel is pointing out. Okay. This is a interesting just extension of the discussion that we just had, and that is, what about Yontif? When it's time for Yontif candles, lighting candles for Yontif, so what should be the order? Seemingly, the Sfardim, the approach of the Sfardim, should win the day. Why? According to the Sfardim are the ones who are doing it right. What do I mean doing it right? They're following the regular rules of Overlasiyasan. They're making the bracha, and then they're doing the Maisa Mitzvah. The Ashkenazim are the ones who have this whole weird thing of lighting first and making the bracha after, which, by the way, we do in another situation. We do it by Netilas Yadayim. We wash our hands, and then we make the bracha after washing our hands. At least some of us do. So, right, that was for you, Ruvi. So, the Rav Hirschel Schechter doesn't, he lights, Ruvi is a big Talmud of Rav Hirschel Schechter. So, Rav Hirschel Schechter washes, he makes his bracha first, then he washes his hands for Netilas Yadayim. But most people wash their hands first, and then they make the bracha. Now, what should you do on Yontif? Because the whole reason Ashkenazim said to light candles first and then make the bracha is because it could be that making the bracha is Mekabel Shabbos. And once it's Shabbos, you can't light candles. But on Yontif, you're allowed to light candles. So even if you would make the bracha first, and even if making the bracha first would be Mekabel Yontif, what's the big deal? So you're light candles. You're allowed to light candles on Yontif. So should we change the procedure for Yontif? So this is fascinating. The Prisha, who was one of the commentaries on the Torah, the Prisha quotes from his mother that his mother paskind, right, we know that there are many stories in history and even in modern times of wives of Rabbanim who are very knowledgeable and, you know, many of the same questions were often coming into the house, and a lot of times the wives paskind because they knew the psak already. So here we not only do we have a psak of a chosh of a woman, but we have a chiddush. He writes that his mother was he writes in the introduction of the Prisha that his mother was mechadesh that on Yontif even Ashkenazim should make the bracha first because the ideal is to do it over Lasiyasa. On Shabbos we can't because of this technical issue of maybe you're Makabel Shabbos. But on Yontif we should. Now, the Magen Avraham has a little bit of a controversial response. The Magen Avraham responds and says, Ein Chochma L'Nashim. Now, what does he mean by that line? So first of all, he's attacking the priest's mother and saying, I disagree. That's his way of disagreeing. But he also means something else. And what he means is women are going to get confused. Why? Because unless you explain the sugya to them so that they know the difference between Shabbos and Yontif and why we're doing one in one order and one we're doing the other order, they're going to get confused. And on Yontif, they're going to be told, all right, make the bracha first and then light. And then let's say the next day is Shabbos. So then what are they going to do Shabbos? They're going to make the bracha first, because that's what they just did a day ago when they lit candles for Yontif. And then they're going to be stuck, because then they're going to be lighting candles, maybe on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says, lo plug. We don't want to start switching. Yontiv one way, Shabbos another way. We're picking a rule and we're going with it. Shabbos, Yontiv. That's the view of the Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah, though, sides with the Prisha's mother. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Chaf Zayin. He leaves out all of the juicy background to the story. He doesn't tell you it's the Prisha's mother. He doesn't quote the Magen Avraham's, you know, controversial line. He just says like this. The imkain, the yontiv, the lo shayach zeh. I'm in Chaf Zayin again in the Mishnah Berurah. Imkain, the yontiv, the lo shayach zeh. Where this is not shayach, this concern of what would happen if you make the bracha first. Lekuli alma tivarech v'achar kach tadlik. Everyone agrees, you should make the bracha first and then light. V'dasa Magen Avraham de lo plug. But the Magen Avraham argues, aval harbe achronim sviraluhu kamosha kasavda mitrila. But most achronim don't agree. And he quotes in the bottom, the Noda Behuda, and Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the Chayadam, and the Shari Tshuva. So there's a strong showing in support of the priestess mother's approach. Another interesting nafgamina case, besides the Yontiv, and the Shmir Shabbos says to do like that, Rav Asher Weiss, I heard, says like that, Rav Shechter says to do like that. Many, many modern-day poskim say that's what a woman should do. Our women, Baruch Hashem, yesh lehem harbei chochma, and our women are able to, they know the halacha, and they're able to remember, and therefore, you know, this is reminiscent of the whole discussion about Sfiras HaOmer, right? The Mishnah Berurah quotes about women not counting Sfiras HaOmer, and also, are they going to forget, and some poskim say nowadays, that's not as much of a concern. The women, they know the halachas of Sfiras HaOmer, they're able to count Sfiras HaOmer just as well as the men, sometimes even better. They are able to remember. Okay. Another interesting nafkamina would be, what if a woman, and we're going to talk about this more in depth in the future, what if a woman lights al tanai, not to be mekabel Shabbos? We're going to see there are certain situations where a woman can light candles, make a bracha, and explicitly say, I'm doing this al tanai, not to be mekabel Shabbos. Whatever, they have to light and then drive someplace. Now they're lighting at home, and then they need to drive to the in-laws for Shabbos, whatever, for the Shabbos meal. So she wants to do it al tanai. So in this case, what would be the din? L'chora, the Magen Avraham would say, lo plug, you stay with the regular procedure. Light and then make the bracha. Even though for sure she's not being mekabel Shabbos, because she has a tanai explicit, she's not being mekabel Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah, though, says that, no, in this situation also, we would flip the order. If she's lighting al tanai, not to be mekabel Shabbos, which, as Shabsi points out, might be in order so that she can still daven mincha. She hasn't daven mincha yet. And you can't daven mincha after you accept Shabbos. It's the next day already, al pi halacha. Can't daven mincha. So a woman, that might be one of the allowances for a woman to be mekabel, to light candles, al tanai, that you're not being mekabel Shabbos, in order to give her more time to daven mincha. So in such a situation, the Shulchan Aruch writes, so she should make the bracha again first, the Ber Halacha. He quotes it from Akiva Eger. In Dibra Maschil Acher, Isha Shemasne Sheinu Mekabel Shabbos. She takes a Tanai. So then, even though the Magen Avraham would say Lo Plug, but Rabbi Kiva Eger says that you flip the order, you make the bracha first, and then you light candles. So Ruby asks, okay, so let her make this Tanai every week, and that way, from then on, she can always make the bracha first. So we're going to see when we do the sugi of Tanai, it's not so pushy for her to do it Tanai. There are going to be certain situations where she's allowed to. And in general, we don't encourage her to do that Tanai. Okay. I want to at least begin. We don't have so much time, but I want to at least begin the next discussion, which is a very lamaisa discussion. And this is lighting candles when you're not at home on a regular Shabbos. A regular Shabbos, go to shul, you get home, you eat the meal, you go to sleep. That's your regular Shabbos. What about when you are not at home? So I'm going to give a brief introduction, and then Mirtz Hashem, it'll equip us with the ability to be able to read the next few Se'ifim in the Shulchan Aruch and to be able to address lots of cases. So let's just a quick introduction. There are two components to the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros. One is the actual act of lighting the candles, the mitzvah to light. You have a mitzvah to actively go and light candles. Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos. So where is the ideal place to light candles, to do this act of lighting the candles? the ideal place is where you eat. First of all, there's a discussion in the Gemara, and Erevin and other places discusses what is the ikker definition of a person's home, the place where he eats, the place where he sleeps, if they're not in the same location. And we paskin the place where he eats. And therefore, the house that you're eating in, and even the place where you eat, ends up being the place where we give the greatest chashivas to the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros. And therefore, you should be lighting your Shabbos candles either on the Shabbos table or right next to the Shabbos table. Someplace where the light is able to be enjoyed at the Shabbos table. Now, this primary chiyuv to light your candles, we already said that the woman does it. She's motzi her husband, and she's motzi her whole family. No one has to be there when she lights. She's able to be motzi them even if they're not in the room. The husband can even be away for Shabbos, and his wife is motzi him in this primary chiyuv of lighting candles. It's a very important point. When she lights candles, she's motzi her husband, even if he's not home. And in the Chut Shani of Rav Nissim Karelitz, he writes, even if he's in a different time zone, which is a big chiddush, because it might not even be Shabbos for him yet. Now, not everybody agrees with that. But certainly, if he's in the same time zone, and you know he's at a conference, he's away, so she lights candles, and she's motzi him in lighting candles. Another important point, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes that since the Iker lighting is at the meal for the meal, Kavod Shabbos, have a meal with candlelight. Oneg Shabbos, whenever there's more light, it's more enjoyable, it's happier. So anyone eating with the family for the Friday night meal is considered Somech al Shulchano, Shabbal Abayis, and is included in the lighting of the Ba'alas Habayis. There's a debate in the Achronim if that means that you eat there regularly or even one time that you eat there. But in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he assumes that it means even if you're eating there one time, you're considered Somech al Shulchano for that meal, and you're included in the Ba'alas Habayis' lighting, which would mean that a yeshiva guy, let's say, who's invited to family for the Friday night meal, his yotzei is candle lighting with the candles that are lit at the Shabbos table by the family. He's considered part of the family for the Friday night meal, and the chiyuv of hadlakas neiros is at night, it's not during the day, and therefore he's yotzei. So what do we see? Point number one was that there's a mitzvah to go out and actively light candles. And the wife is not only motzi her family if they're not there, but even motzi guests who are at the Shabbos table. Now, there is a second component to hadlakas neiros, and that is shalom bayis. Shalom bayis doesn't just mean that the husband and wife should get along over Shabbos. Shalom bayis means that you should not be angry, frustrated, and upset over Shabbos. You should be in a place of shalom, of tranquility. And therefore, let's say the man again is away on a business trip, the room that he's sleeping in requires a light to be lit in the room. Because being in a pitch black room, you're going to trip on things. You're not going to be able to find your glasses. You're going to end up stepping on your glasses. You're going to be angry and be upset and frustrated. And that is not consistent with what Shabbos is supposed to be. And therefore, any room you sleep in requires light in order for this idea of shalom bayis. So now, before they had electricity, this was a real concern. Because if you were sleeping in a room, it could be that the room was pitch black at night. And therefore, you had an obligation to light a candle in that room. Besides the candle you lit in the dining room by the Shabbos table, which was your ikker lighting, and that's where you made your bracha, but you also needed to go and light in all the other rooms of the house. Now, nowadays that we have electricity, it's very hard to find a room that doesn't have any light. There's light coming from a hallway. There's light coming from a bathroom. You know, there's street lights outside that are coming in through the window. So the rooms already do have light. And therefore, this second component is less critical. But lemaisa, if you find yourself in a situation where a room requires light, it could trigger a separate chiyuv bracha. And let me tell you the case where that happens. this man that's away on business. So again, let's just get the case. He goes away to business on a business trip, 2 hours away from his home. He's in the same time zone, let's say. His wife lights it out at home. That covers his Iker Chiyuv Hadlakas Neiros. But now he finds himself in a Holiday Inn hotel. Now he has a Chiyuv to light a candle or light a lamp in the room. And yeah, he's going to have to sleep with a little bit of light because he must have light in the room. And he will make a bracha when he lights that candle. Why? I thought he was already yotze with his wife. His wife was yotze him on the Iker Chiyuv to light. And that covers all the rooms. Meaning if your house has some rooms that are dark, and the husband goes around lighting lights in all those rooms, he doesn't make a bracha because the wife's bracha counted for the whole house. But the wife's bracha does not count for the hotel. And therefore, when he lights a light in the hotel, he's going to have to make a separate bracha, even though his wife already made a bracha for him on the Iker Chiyuv. That's the introduction. We're going to go through, there are three seifim in the Shulchan Aruch. One is about a married man away from his family. One is about a single man who's a guest. And one is about multiple families that are spending Shabbos together. And once we see those cases, we'll be able to address a man on a business trip, a single man who's at an ufra for a Shabbaton, he's being put up by someone, but he's not eating with the family, married couples, a married couple that goes out for the Friday night meal, or a married couple that sleeps by the in-laws, going to a hotel where there's a dining room, yeshiva guys in a dormitory. So Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll quickly just run through those cases using some of the material that we just spoke about to arm us with the information to be able to answer them.